one point you can't believe. Well, who's the most powerful person in South African politics right now? Isn't it Jacob Zuma? Even though he's not on the ballot, and even though he's not allowed to run as a candidate?
He's on posters. There is an appeal. The MK is appealing the decision.
Why is your mic sounding a bit funny to me?
I don't know. James, it's a sabotage. James is sabotaging me.
No, I don't know what it is, because this studio, we had an event last night for Democracy Unplugged, which I've got a picture here to show you, we did it.
We believe you.
Look there. Look, there's Pumlani Majozi. There's Jonathan Witt and Canton Pillay last night talking all about the important things that are going around and that we are all meant to discuss in Democracy 101. And it looks like this is the third already of many of these discussions. So cool things happening, Pums. How are you this morning?
I think I stayed later than I should have last night.
Are you feeling a bit tired?
I'm feeling a bit tired, but I also am feeling a bit flu-y, so my voice.
Maybe that's it. It's not the microphone, it's your voice.
It may not be. Well, maybe James is not sabotaging me after all.
Well, the reason I brought up Jacob Zuma at the beginning of the show is because that was kind of one of the things everybody was talking about last night. And I heard a very interesting conversation between Jonathan Witt and Mighty Jamie, of all people, both of whom you would never regard as being the sort of people who would want to stand around talking to each other, but they did for hours. I eventually had to chase them out of the building.
Why would you not think they
come from such different political points of view. I mean, this is what I find fascinating about South Africa, is because everybody tells us, oh, we're a nation constantly at in conflict and at loggerheads, and, you know, it's rich versus poor, and it's left versus right, and it's white versus black, and it's old versus young, and it's rich versus poor, and all of those things. Actually, you don't see that in reality. What you see is, like, people who are either very involved in a certain subject or not. And you do see class things come up occasionally, but the others, not so much. I mean, you occasionally get millennials who will say, boomer, when someone old says something.
But
not aggressive.
But also, most of us are just, you know what? Most of us are just like plying our trade, living our lives, looking after our kids.
Right.
And so we don't really find ourselves in those kinds of engagements. Because who do you engage with? You engage with people in your church, people in your community, people in your family. And those people, you have much more in common with each other, even at dinner parties.
Right.
As you are all out politicking each other over bottles of red wine.
And you don't sit there disagreeing you're not entitled to your belief basis, right? I think your camera is dirty on that thing.
I don't know what to do.
It all happens so quickly in the mornings here. Have you got a tissue in there? Maybe just give it a little clean.
A tissue is the wrong thing. Just give it a little clean with.
I don't know.
Yeah, it'll scratch it.
Oh, Mfundo is going right in on you. Pumi, are you also afraid of talking about the Gaba brothers' involvement in the case, like everyone in KZN?
Why would I be afraid?
So let's just talk about who these guys are quickly, because this is an interesting discussion. Now, that's already much better, Pums. Look at that. All right, there's the Pumi we know.
I cannot believe y'all were being,
being shown a not so perfect version of Pumi. So the Gaba brothers are basically, and have been for years, they are related to Gedleyihlekisa, and they are like his strongmen, his henchmen.
No.
Yeah, but wait, you can correct me in a minute. They also have run the construction mafia, as I understand it, and they have a lot of sway in the taxi industry in KZN. So powerful guys, and suddenly they are being outed. And I can't help thinking that this has a lot to do with the fact that Jacob Zuma represents a credible threat to the ANC, and that the ANC is now going for anyone they can that's close to him and trying to make everything very uncomfortable. Because they were very much under the radar, these guys, beforehand.
You don't agree? They've not been under the radar for a very long time. Mm. And it may be that we keep talking about KZN and the world that KZN is, because it's a highly contested political terrain.
Absolutely.
This year. But the Gqaba brothers are, I think there's like six of them. There's so many of them. You actually don't know how many they are. From Umlazi. And their father was a taxi boss, and they've taken over the family business. And they are moneyed, right? And they are not throwing around their money. And they've since diversified their business interests outside of the logistics and transportation business.
But they're very powerful guys, and they do have some say also in the construction business.
But
that's what you mean by diversified.
But because they are nephews, I think, to Jacob Zuma in some way or another. And this came up while Jacob Zuma was president. But they were also, because of TikTok and all of those things, there were also always lots of videos of them and their flashy cars at like Guamex in Cape Town, or what was that lifestyle place that made Zotwa very famous?
That car wash place in Umlazi. Yeah. You know, I went there once.
Oh, my God.
No, I did. I was there
Where's your picture?
On a
Where's
Sunday?
Your picture arriving?
With the cars and the sleigh queens and the... Yeah.
Kaibo. It didn't happen if there's no picture.
Promise you.
But and so this is who they are. But why they're back in the conversation is because allegedly the money that was the 800,000 rand that was paid to the money guy in the AKA shooting came from one of the brothers. And so it's a mess.
Okay, but they also, there was that car accident that Zuma was involved in, and people are saying, obviously his people are saying it was an assassination attempt. I mean, he is a target.
One of the reasons
you haven't contradicted me, though.
No, I absolutely will not, because all of these things are conjectures of some sort, right? It's all just rumors flying around.
No, but these rumors are what South Africa really talks about. We don't talk about policies and the stuff that you read in the manifestos. And most South Africans talk about conjecture and gossip. I know, but this is the reality, Pums. We talk about the Gqaba brothers. We talk about AKA's killers. We talk about Kate Middleton. We talk about...
celebrity gossip.
We don't talk about the important policy positions of various leaders in political parties. I'm afraid we don't.
Yes, Sanele, the place is called Eyadini.
Eyadini.
Thank you very much. But it is true. And one of the main reasons when Zuma was still president that they were so prominent and very feared, like a lot of taxi bosses, very feared. I mean, there's videos
That's
of them
why
with
I say
guns.
That he, they're
and
the enforcement arm. I win, we are Bambezela. Come on, let's not forget.
They are the ones holding the umshini.
Umshini wam. That's right. All right, so.
and there are numerous videos of them holding their umshini.
I love the comments section on the show. You know I do. You can join in by following us on YouTube, like and subscribe. We would love you to be a part of that. But I would also like very much to deal with some of these comments, because some of these are just crying out for something. So JP jumping in with white monopoly capitalism myth. No, listen, we're not going down that road. We know that was invented by Bell Pottinger and has been a useful tool for many people in many political parties. But we're not going back on that now to re-establish our position on it. It's mostly bullshit. Mfundo, clearly Pumi's not afraid to talk about the Gaba brothers. We've just discussed them for about 5 minutes.
I will. Kala. Why would we be afraid?
Kala says, morning, everybody. I emailed you the recent speech by Rob Herzog where he throws it down. He tells Cyril to resign. Zuma is the most popular politician in South Africa. We should vote with Caton, etc. Okay, so listen. I have enjoyed the company of Rob Herzog. I think that he is a civil society voice, which is to be welcomed. All of us should be able to speak as he does freely and voice our opinions. But I would not attach extra weight to his opinion. I'm being kind. I have no.
I did see that speech, and it made me laugh because so that was a couple of weeks ago at the Biz News. No.
We actually saw him the night after that.
Yeah. And it made me laugh because he spoke about how in the past, because Rob Herzog has been in the public eye for probably about 3 or 4 years from the first Biz News like outburst that he had. And then, but how it's been so hard on him and his family and 3 years. 3 years. And he's like, I'm done. I'm done being a father. I'm done.
Poor him. And okay.
It's
so
like, what? 3 years.
Poor
three
him.
Years, Baba.
Okay. So poor him. Listen, I got to be perfectly frank with you. I have no issues with Rob. I think it's great that someone in society has spoken out. I'm not going to take the line that poor Rob is put upon and that he has a difficult life because he's ventured opinions. Rob is got a lot of money. He's a very networked and influential person in certain circles. I don't think anyone in South Africa is queuing up to go, no, please don't go when Rob says that he's finished. Because I also think that for many people, they have dismissed him as being a loudmouth and someone who has had an outsized microphone in front of him for a very long time. I don't agree. I don't mind who has the microphone. I love seeing South Africans of any stripe speak their mind. And he has had some very vocal and vociferous things to say. What I've liked about Rob on the positive side is that he has challenged business in this country to grow a spine. Because there are so many people in business in this country who are weaklings, who don't have any strength of character, who never stand up for anything, who will bend whichever way the wind blows, who have been the ANC's puppets, who will do whatever it takes to earn that extra rand. And we've discussed this a couple of times on the show. It's not like Rob's the only one, but he has thrown down the gauntlet to business people in this country and said to them, where is your spine? Which is good. So if any credit's to be given, I'm happy for him to receive the credit for that. But I will also say that I think for many people, he represents a kind of, and I hate to say this because I've had the same charges leveled at me, a kind of angry white man moaning. No, you know what I mean, Pumi, right? And I mean, whether it's justified or not, there's this thing where some people, when they speak out, you just go, oh. And it's not necessarily true. It's not necessarily fair, but it is what it is. And I think Rob has also really enjoyed being in the spotlight, perhaps a little too much. And when people enjoy that a little too much, they start to do it because they like the feeling of it. It's like when someone trends on Twitter for saying something outrageous. So what they do is they start saying outrageous things so they can keep trending on Twitter because they love the dopamine rush. Mm. So I get that. And I can't blame Rob for that. It's nice when you've been, you know, much more kind of quietly influential in the background of the business world. And then you suddenly get national attention and international attention. And all these people who in society are impressed with you come and tell you, oh my God, don't stop saying that. And I know it's very interesting and addictive to some people.
Mm.
I don't have a problem with it myself, but I think it's enough, maybe.
Do you think that's fair?
There Wait, some interesting first tell me if you things. Think I'm fair.
Baba. You have got the microphone. I would have switched off your mic. No, but it is.
That
right?
Particular conference?
That particular conference had lots of fascinating things come out of it. Lots of. And when the videos, I mean, for about a week afterwards, all the videos, because that's what they do, right? So they have all the videos come out. And we, I think we didn't quite get to pay as much attention to it as the other conferences, because Ngenjelile last week, guys, it's a so busy much. Year. It's a busy year. If you
hey, by the way, I see
concentrating for half a day.
I gotta say, talking about how, you know, this is a crazy time. There is so much advertising now. Politics is everywhere. Those big electronic billboards. On the way in this morning, I saw Cyril Vote ANC on the big one in Midrand at Voter World. I saw Freedom Front Plus. It's interesting to see which parties have money. Clearly, Rise Mzansi has lots of money. They are everywhere on their posters.
Well,
EFF is everywhere.
Well, we've seen some declarations of donations. We've seen some because it's legislated that they have to tell us. But really, only about 8 parties I've seen put out their declarations of who has given them money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Rise has a lot of money. I think that they have a good agency. And so you are clearly their target audience because you're seeing them everywhere. I mean,
there are some places where I've not seen any Rise. I saw the ballot paper for the first time yesterday.
But I saw there are posters, street poll posters, on the way to my mother's house in Soweto. And these posters, and we've got an IFP member coming later today, but they have the most fascinating hashtag. And they are posters for the IFP, and they've got Shenge on them, and they say, hashtag do it for Shenge.
We've got to talk about that. Here, by the way, let me just show you this. This is the ballot paper, but I've zoomed in on where Rise Mzansi is here. Look at how well their logo takes up all the space. Okay, so you've got all the others, but Rise Mzansi is definitely taking up. The EFF's not bad. Takes up a lot of space. You ask me, like, I'm going to know who all these parties are. ELF SA, I'll tell you who they are. They are the Economic Liberators Forum, South Africa. ELF SA. It's right under the EFF on the ballot paper. But don't ask me who they are. So it's long.
So is this, it is, where did you see that?
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
You haven't seen it in all your WhatsApp groups?
Not a one. That's why I'm wondering where the source of that one particularly is.
So let's just deal with one or two more of these comments. So Gray says, why do we say ruling party instead of leading party? You're right.
We shouldn't even be saying leading. We should be saying governing.
Governing, correct. So thank you for that. I agree, says Kala. Good speech by herself, especially around Eskom and the poor. But when he started pushing Gates, and my eyebrows went askew. Well, it was interesting last night to hear who's voting MK, who's voting for Gayton. There's a lot of excitement around all these choices that we have this year.
It's wonderful. Did I not tell you that this is what you need? You need, like...
And then Sanel is saying, like I said, Gareth, you are black and ratchet like a snake queen. Those people are talking rubbish. Wow.
I did see somebody saying, we are Sisabela here after all of that smack talking.
All right. I've got a few things that we've got to do before we get into politics, and we've got the whole burning platform to do that. We are talking IFP this morning, which is going to be exciting. We've spoken to political leaders from all the parties. Last week we had the Good Party. We've had Bantu Holomisa, had Kenneth Meshwe. We've had Gayton. We've had lots of the leaders so far. We're only missing, I think, a few. And the IFP is one of the ones that we get to today. Then I think it's really the big three, hey? Big four. MK, EFF, DA, ANC.
Yeah.
Then we've pretty much done them all.
Yeah.
We've had the rest.
We need to get Rise out here. We need to. We must.
Songezo. He's meant to come. He's meant to come. I don't know when. All right. So first of all, you know, I love those things where you drop the red hot ball of iron into something and then it makes fart noises. So I found two of these. You know, from the sublime to the ridiculous on this show. Come on, you don't expect me to be serious all morning. So here, watch this. That's mustard. That's mustard, by the way. Mustard, very, very good sound. But then look at this one. This is great. This is probably the best sounding one so far. So they take a red hot, they've heated up a ball of iron till it's red hot, and they drop it into a beaker of various substances. And
have you done this in your little...
No, but I'm going to. That's so much fun. All right, watch.
In your lab. Ew. What is this? Is this Himalaya face cream?
That's aloe vera gel. Very exciting. Don't tell me you don't love this stuff. All right.
Is this you this Saturday in your little...
No, I had to break with enough politics. We've got a whole hour today, right?
It's very similar.
Not what? You think the sound is a lot like what politicians at the mic sound like? I do have to point something out about you, Phumi Mashego. Just yesterday, I was watching you during our Democracy Unplugged podcast party event, and I saw your notebook, which I've taken a picture of.
Which is sitting right on my desk.
Well, here it is. Look at that.
La, 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 la.
What are
la,
you, a 15-year-old schoolgirl?
La, 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 la.
What's this?
This is, and here's my pen.
Happy day. What is that?
I am old school, right? I still write.
I have notes in a notebook, but what is on the cover there? I mean, why? Do you need an adult one? I've got extra empty notebooks.
No.
You want that one?
No. There are some things that are just a joy to behold.
And it says Happy Day.
Happy Day.
Look at that. What is that? Not even a unicorn. It's a little like a rocking horse.
It's a rocking horse. It's a rocking horse with all the stuff going down. So I've got a little note here as I'm opening it up. Oh, revision of history in the loss of nuance.
Jesus, Pumi.
The work of a general, economic levers. This was probably one of the people that we had. I think that these are notes from when Douglas Murray was here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The broken fabric between private thought and broadcast thought. I mean, there's like some serious gems in here, dude. I have to like have some joy when I'm writing my, like, as I'm part of the depressing news cycle. I need joy. And this is some of the stuff that brings small joys.
Well, Happy Day is Pumi's title of her diary. Let's make her notebook. Let us make that our thought today. Happy Day.
Happy Day.
All right. So,
and can you like see this? Every morning when I take out my stuff and I take out my iPad and I take out my notebook and
You were looking around for your iPad like Cyril earlier. Where is my iPad?
I can't find my iPad.
Oh, wait. Someone has stolen my iPad.
I too could not find my iPad this morning.
All right.
Also because writing and doodling is one of the ways that helps me kind of think through stuff. When I'm sitting in meetings, it's way better than like...
Yeah, I agree.
Typing up stuff.
I'm in agreement. Violent agreement.
But I saw a really cool moleskin yesterday. Really cool moleskin.
Those are the best notebooks.
That you can connect to your phone or your notes app. And so you can write in the moleskin, and you place your phone or your iPad next to it, and the notes get written into your app.
Is it a book?
It's a book. So you've got both. You've got it on the book, and you've got it in
that's
the thing.
That's cool. See, I'm an old school.
I had a moment of properly geeking out.
How much
out.
Is it?
I couldn't look. In this little economy.
Yeah, it's bad.
But in this Cyril economy, like that thing is in dollars, mama.
I like that because that to me is that's a perfect in-betweener. I love the notes. I've looked through my shelf here the other day. It's 10 years of Cliff Central in a month from now, believe it or not. And obviously now we rebranded the Real Network and we've got the podcast party going on this side and all these things happening. But I've got notes from every year. Every year I kept notes written in a book, every meeting I've had, dates, decisions, pictures, all kinds of things.
How lovely is it to go back and look at those notes?
Well, that's the first time I've done it in 10 years. I don't know how lovely, but yeah. I do like notes.
Is it dated? Because I also write little dates at the top right-hand corner of the page. I write dates. I have a new notebook. This little one is like half a... I also have a proper grown-up notebook that's the notebook that's got like my name.
You got Basitsana all excited. She said, sorry, where did you see that moleskin? Because I need
Basitsana, that moleskin. Listen, I couldn't even look at the price for it because I was just like, oof.
She wants to know where. She doesn't care. She'll pay.
Go look on the moleskin website. It's there.
All right. I see this online and it makes me very nervous. So we're always in favor of artists doing their thing. We want to give them free rein to come up with whatever creative nonsense they feel like. But I saw this. Some guy posted this and says, what did we do to this woman? What did we do to this woman? She's got a painting of five black men and all their penises are tied together. And she's standing next to it, looking very proud of herself. Now, I agree with Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt.
There's so many things happening in the screen grab.
So, I this is why I need your help on this one, please. What's going on here? What happened to this woman? So, what's her story here?
Gareth. Gareth.
Come on.
We should phone the artist. But this... assault on my dignity.
It's pretty rough. That's a rough way to start your day this morning, I understand. You don't have anything to say about that.
Andazi. We should ask Bratit.
Bratit. Why am I following someone called Bratit is another good question, right?
Ratchet.
Yeah.
Ratchet. That's so what you are.
One other fun thing I want us to do quickly, because I got this from the person in question probably about 2.5 weeks ago. And I haven't been able to play it because the file was too huge. And now I've found a way of making the file a bit smaller. But you know Anthea Gardner?
Yeah.
Who used to be our financial and economics person.
She works hard for the money.
So they've made an official... I hope that YouTube doesn't deplatform us for this, but I got to play you. They've made their own music video at Anthea's business, Cartesian Capital.
Okay.
And I love it. Okay, so I have to play this for you because Anthea sent it to me. I think she should be very proud of this. How many financial institutions, asset management businesses especially, have a sense of humor?
Well,
I mean, none that I can think of. Here's Anthea and her theme song, which we developed on this show with Anthea. Remember, even in the foreword to her book, which she asked me to write, all I wrote was, she works hard for her money, so hard for it, honey. She works hard for her money, so you better treat her right. That's all I said. Okay, and here she is doing her song. Look at this. I love it.
Oh, my God.
Don't you love this? I think this is so cool. Watch this. There's our Anthea. She gets up on the desk. The hair comes loose. That's right. All right, I love it. Isn't that cool? Tell me that isn't awesome, right? Come on, Pumi. Have some fun.
I think we should see more of those two guys by the coffee station.
You like their dance moves, huh? Of geekdom.
What I'm quite concerned with is how many people in the comment section know Bratit. Somebody's
really
sent us a thing saying that he's rebranded from Bratit.
Oh, look at this. This is Justice Lissilo.
There are people talking about this girl and her artworks. There's actually somebody saying all her art is penises and vaginas.
Oh, look at that.
There's so much.
See, we've brought
I have
up
so many questions now.
This is what I love about our
How
audience.
How is this?
Our audience know everything, Pumi. Everything. You should see her other works of art, says Lord Zange Aphoswe. I love the name. And then Justice Lesilo says, Gareth Bratit officially rebranded. He is Uncle Scrooge of Fense Mawase. You interviewed him. Film photography and music video producer. Really? Bratit. Maybe that's why I'm following him. But when I started following him, he wasn't called Bratit.
So he does this often.
Yeah, he's rebranding. He's like Madonna. He constantly
evolving. Constantly evolving.
Bratit.
Hey, whoa.
Well, there are lots of comments about Anthea, and people love her song. And of course, we love Anthea and her song. We must get her back in here at some point.
There you go. Stephanie's found the moleskin and the price thereof.
How much?
$279.
Ka-ching. Let me just do a quick calculation here because my maths is very poor.
She has done it for us. 5,300.
Yes, over 5,000 for a notebook.
5,300.
Okay, but let me understand. It's paper. You write on it. So when it's finished, it's full. You've got to throw it away.
No, why are you throwing it away? You must put it away and get the next one.
Mara, for 5,000.
Get the next one. You just told us you've got 10 years of notebooks
here.
Yeah,
but in paper, notebooks, I just replace it with another paper notebook, which doesn't cost me 5,000 rand a time. This does not sound like a good investment.
But it also uploads it to your digital device and to your cloud, Baba.
My cloud. Like, my cloud needs that. Yarr, yeses. Oh, okay, so let's take a look at some notes. We got lots of things to talk about on the show that have nothing to do with politics and Bratit and Anthea or any of that stuff. We've really crossed the gamut this morning of things. But let me have a quick
But squeeze. Because we're playing the Donna Summer, she works hard for her money.
Tell me.
Did you see the video of Cher singing with Jennifer Hudson?
Oh, no.
And they Cher is 77 years old. Mm. So her vocal cords are 77 years old. Mm-hmm. But the Cher, like, hive.
Do fan you believe base, a life after love?
They were so upset, saying that Jennifer Hudson upstaged Cher.
Well.
Because Jennifer Hudson's got pipes, right?
That is indisputable.
And they were saying Jennifer Hudson was actually upstaging Cher and like trolling her.
All right.
With her own song.
I gotta be so careful here because my friend Nikki is Cher's biggest fan. She loves Cher so much that at her 30th birthday a couple of years ago, she sang a Cher song. Okay. And she idolizes Cher. So I can't say anything mean about Cher, otherwise I'll be dealing with that for the rest of my life. It's like those friends of yours who are Beyonce fans, and when you say something about her latest album.
This is not mean. This was not mean, because I saw this trending Cher, and they were iHeart Awards. Cher and Jay Heard, Cher and Jay Heard, and people were, you know, it was quite a heated little thing, because we can't, these days, we can't just disagree and, like, leave it at that.
Everything has to be personal.
It has to be, sure, Basitsane says, sure, Cher.
Sure.
But so I went to go look for the video. I'm like, the woman is 77 years old.
Give her a break.
Of course, her vocal cords are a little.
See what you can do at 77. All those people who are complaining about her.
So then I was down the rabbit hole
of Cher videos,
old people videos.
Oh, singing.
Old people singing, old people dancing. And then another thing I happened on, which I don't know if I'm better for having seen it, but 80-year-old Mick Jagger moves like Jagger. He's dancing like it's gone viral again, like him like dancing to.
To me, Mick Jagger has always looked when he's dancing like he's having an epileptic fit.
80 years old and still, and I was just like.
But the guy has tremendous energy. You
for
can't.
80-year-old Baba.
He's got incredible energy. I would rather be a Mick Jagger 80 than a Joe Biden 80.
When I am 80 years old, leave me.
Oh, no, we will.
Alone.
Don't worry. No one's coming to you to ask you to perform.
Leave me alone. When I'm 80 years old, Pumps? Just leave me alone.
Please
relax. Watching my TV.
I promise you, no one's going to bring you out of retirement at 80 years old to come and sing with Jennifer Hudson.
Just, I was so concerned that he was like going to like shift his hip out of place.
Grant says, have you seen Cher's toy boy?
38 years old.
Well.
Again. When I'm...
Oh, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Have you heard Beyoncé's cover of Jolene?
I did.
And? You shook your head and went, no.
I am outside of the Beyoncé.
Okay, but I know, like, I know two things about you. I mean, number one, you are a Dolly Parton fan.
Radio Zulu, thank you very much.
And I know that you are aware of Jolene and the cover...
That
version.
Red-headed hussy.
So, I don't, maybe you'd have some strident opinion about this, but
I don't.
Because she changed some of the lyrics.
I don't, but that's also because I'm just like, I'm not enamored with Beyoncé. I'm sorry.
I have never been either. Maybe we should stop right there because, like my friend...
They'll come for us. And so that's why I'm just like...
Like my friend Nikki with Cher, I don't want to fight...
out of this.
I don't want to fight with a bay hive. Okay, so let's leave that alone. I need to turn your moves into a gif. I'm dying, says Bastana. That was when I was doing the Mick Jagger moves. Have you seen that guy?
I really was concerned for his hips. I was just like, the man is 80 years old. Why are people doing this? Why are people doing this? But he's been in the limelight for a very, very long time. And so he's also addicted to the dopamine of like...
These celebrities are proof aliens exist. Keith Richards, Jagger... Pitt, Sher, Aniston, etc. It's not normal. I think what you mean there, Jethro, is that all of these people are, they look way too young.
Maybe they have really good plastic surgeons.
Hey, I saw Keith Richards, he celebrated his birthday here in South Africa.
Really?
Yeah, he posted something because I follow him on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
And he posted, I think it was his birthday or his wife's birthday or something, but he was in the bush here in South Africa. He even... tagged South Africa as the place.
So best that's place the, that's in the world.
Yeah, maybe that's why he's so young. He spends a lot of time in this country.
Best place in the world.
All right. Let's just take a look at some news stories. I'm sorry to do this to you, but let's do what we do for people.
We're looking at the news that time of the morning already?
Yeah.
Wow.
In an effort to address the high dropout rate in South Africa, the Department of Basic Education is introducing a new certificate for students leaving school after grade 9. This certificate, called the General Education Certificate, is designed to equip these students with a qualification that they can leverage to find employment or pursue further education opportunities outside the traditional high school track. With around 40%... Say that again, 40% of students dropping out of school before matriculating. South Africa faces a significant challenge in retaining students in the education system.
That number's understated.
You think it's higher?
Yeah. Stats SA.
You mean from grade
higher.
One?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so maybe.
Stats SA says it's higher. That number is understated.
So they say here the GEC, that's the... General Education Certificate is envisioned as a potential solution providing these students with a recognized credential that validates their acquired knowledge and skills. The introduction of this is a step towards improving educational outcomes. And so, this is not an improvement. This is lowering the standard. And I know people, they do this when you say lowering the standard, but it is. It is creating a new low standard, a new minimum requirement. That's all it's doing.
It's shuffling chairs. They're not solving the problem.
No, not at all. Totally agree. And I think it's typical of the Basic Education Department. Whenever we ask them to account for themselves. Yeah. Whenever we ask them to account for themselves and to do a better job, they just go, well, we can't do this, so let's do this, which is much lower. That's what they're doing here. Mm. This is what happens when you have people. I mean, it's called the Department of Basic Education. You know, when we talk about someone being basic, Like if we say she's a basic bitch. Yeah, that's what it means. Sianda agrees with me. Talk about lowering the bar. The certificate isn't the reason why employees aren't employing the dropouts. Again, you're an employer, Pumi. I'm an employer. Is this going to make a difference?
You know what? You know what? Let's move on to the next topic.
You don't even want to talk about it. I get you.
Let's move on to the next topic. I get you. Before I say something, I'm trying to stick to my not swearing. Ne?
There was a terrible earthquake in Taiwan. A major earthquake struck, the strongest to hit the country in 25 years. A 7.4 magnitude quake struck the east coast, injuring over 800 people and killing at least 9. The epicenter was near Hualien City, where tremors were felt as far as Taipei, the capital. Buildings were damaged, landslides occurred, blocking roads, isolating some areas. Rescue efforts are underway. It's a horrible situation.
Yeah, it's hectic.
But again, I'm not getting involved in this. No.
What?
I am on a... You have your no swearing rule, yeah. Even though Lent is finished and you don't have to.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to be a better person.
I think not swearing is a good thing. You know, you must measure. Sometimes it's appropriate to swear. But I am doing a diet. I have imposed rules upon myself. Remember, I did the no drinking for 2.5 months. I'm going to probably go back to that as well, even though people are so boring, as I said to you last week. My rule is I am not paying attention to news that does not affect me personally, me in community, me in nation, and the things I'm interested in the world. Now, I'm not saying...
So concentric circles.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I don't care about Taiwan at all. I'm not saying I have no compassion for the people who've suffered and died in this earthquake. But I don't have capacity.
Mm.
Okay, so I'm not... I'm drawing a line.
Mm.
It's taken me 46 years to realize that I cannot care about everything.
Mm.
And I'm pretty good at that. There's a lot that I don't care about.
Mm.
But I'm now going to say it openly. I am not going to pretend any longer that I care about a natural disaster that is nobody's fault, that occurred in a place where I have no connection. What? I do not know one person in Taiwan, do you?
No.
I don't know.
I might.
If it costs me more in terms of microchips, I might learn to care one day. But right now, we can't care about everything.
Gareth. Speaking of not caring about things, the trajectory, I'm just warning, this is I'm taking you off
your thought
process.
Go on.
There is a very funny video of Chinese Jamaicans.
What made you think of Taiwan?
No, they're not caring if there's no connection to you, right?
Okay. All right,
which reminded me of your Jamaican cousins.
Yes.
Which reminded me.
Pumi says to me, all Pumi wants is for me to invite my Jamaican cousins on the show.
Come on. Gareth, come on, share the joy.
But you know why? You know why Pumi wants me to have my Jamaican cousins on the show? Because they are black, and she wants people to their heads to explode when they see that I have second cousins who are black. It'll blow their minds.
God. But right. You've seen the TikTok video. Of course I'm a Sowetan.
Yeah.
And this video is Jamaican Chinese people. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. It will explode your lungs. You have to find it. Okay. It's hilarious.
I will.
Everybody must find it. It'll make your day a happy day.
Happy day. All right, let's turn our attention to something good, because there are people who are doing good in the world. And, you know, we often talk about animals. Pumi's got pets. I've got pets. We love animals. Woodrock Animal Rescue is a leading nonprofit pro-life rescue, rehabilitation, and rehoming organization in South Africa. So we don't often talk about this stuff, and I thought, you know what, this morning, this is something we can help out with. We
Definitely.
Can just increase the awareness. Pause at Work is a pillar of Woodrock, focusing on mental wellness for corporates and allied organizations. So there's a human element to this. It's an impactful, life-changing program. It's the brainchild of Jax, who joins us on the line right now. Hey, Jax, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, nice to see you, and thank you for waking up so early. It looks beautiful where you are. Where are you?
Where are you that you've got
I am
such...
in Woodmead.
Oh, you're in Woodmead, and look at this.
I'm in Woodmead up the road. I'm actually not at Woodrock at the moment, but I will be hooking up with them shortly.
So, Jax, how do I pronounce your surname?
Marthys. It's quite the name.
Marthys. Wow, that's an interesting name. Jax Marthys. All right. So listen, a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about. Let's just start with Woodrock Animal Rescue and tell me about what that organization does and what your involvement is and what kind of things you need people to know and maybe help out with.
Okay. So Woodrock Animal Rescue has been going for over 39 years. They rescue, rehabilitate, rehome. We've got different pillars within it. It is the most phenomenal organization. It was founded by Stella and Nicholas Maldo, and I am Stella's niece, hence me getting so involved in Woodrock Animal Rescue. We do so much work. We do outreaches every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in disadvantaged communities. So what does that mean? We go into disadvantaged communities. We educate, because if you know better, you do better. What else do we do in there? We help the dogs. You know, we take all the dogs that need to be sterilized, because sterilization is key, I believe, in this world. And we take the animals back to Woodrock Animal Rescue. They then spend the day at Woodrock Animal Rescue. We check them out medically. We sterilize on Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we're sterilizing on average 50 animals a week. So that's on average 200 animals a month that we are sterilizing. And then we return them back to their homes. And we then put those families onto feeding schemes, which is just so cool. So we're feeding about 500 animals in disadvantaged communities a month, which is really something.
Incredible.
So it's very proud of it, which is really cool. Obviously, we'll only feed animals that have been sterilized, which obviously there's trying to get some buy-in.
Right.
And then we create relationships with those people. So they come back to us when they need medical help or they need assistance with anything, they give us a shout. And it's just so rewarding. We, you know, do vaccinations. We do tick and flea treatment, which is, you know, a huge thing out there. And obviously rabies vaccinations. Then we do education into schools. We really want people to know better in corporates. We go and we educate them. We obviously rescue animals, and they're all forms of rescue. People say, what is rescue? And we can have a conversation just on that topic alone. And then we rehabilitate them. We have the most amazing a guy who comes out twice a week. He's a behaviorist, and he goes, you know, he behaves, he does all behavior work with our animals. And then obviously we do the rehoming, which is the most rewarding part. And the rewarding, we've got pop-up adoption centers, Parktown North, the garden shop. We at Four Ways Crossing every single Saturday. We do puppy yoga at Kaylee's once a month and Woodrock and Molly's.
Wait, what puppy, what?
Puppy yoga. Okay, it is amazing. And you have to actually come one day, because it's just so cool. And we've got a thrift store at our pop-up adoption in Parktown North, and it's amazing. I didn't actually know so much about thrifting until we got a store, and now I think my entire closet is thrifting things.
Wow. It's look at you.
My closet, my home, everything. So, yeah, so jump on there. What do we need? We need support always. I'm just going to say that anyone wants to donate food, as I say, we've got this massive feeding program. You know, anything you want to donate to our thrift store,
follow us. How do people find you?
So hop onto our socials, and they simply Woodrock Animal Rescue. We are on TikTok. Talking about your TikTok before, I'll definitely be trying to find that video. We are on TikTok. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. On Facebook, we have a couple of pages, but the one I'm wanting to talk about today is called Paws at Work.
All right, so before we get into this, I mean, this sounds like a good cause. Lots of people can't necessarily keep pets wherever they are. There are lots of people who live in an urban environment where pets are not an option. But maybe they want to help feed other people, other people's abandoned dogs, dogs that you've rescued, dogs that you're trying to rehome. This is a way to get involved. And they're obviously, you can donate money, you can donate food, you could even volunteer, I suppose, and donate your time.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And, like, and you know, Gary, what you just mentioned there, that's, you know, our pop-up adoptions have been amazing for people that can't have animals. Mm. And also for educating children, you know, children that are scared of animals, bringing them through. We bring highly adoptable dogs to those areas. And my volunteers, as you mentioned, engage with them and will show them, you know, how to touch an animal and So it is really fabulous, and it does so much, the pop-ups.
All right, so let's talk about this pause at work, because I think this is quite interesting. First of all, most people do not think of, pause at work. Two things don't go together. I have to drop my dog off because it's the most spoiled animal in the world. And the thing that does not happen to my dog is she doesn't get left alone. But some people do take their animals to work. Is this what it is, or am I completely barking down up the wrong tree, so to speak?
Gareth.
Barking, just not on the right tree, not on the right road.
Explain what pause at work is.
Okay, so what happened is it's become so personal to me, and we at Woodrock are so passionate about it. It's about the mental wellness part and the mental health for humans. So, the problem is, COVID came, and everyone was stuck in their tiny bubbles and stuck at home, and then we had to go out into this world, and there was a new normal, and people didn't know how to deal with a new normal in the workplace environment, in the school environment, and what we wanted to do is incorporate animals into the workplace environment so people could understand the value that animals add on a physical and emotional perspective, on a social perspective. And so the thought came around, and it's been scientifically proven that animals, they bring down, they lower your blood pressure, if I can actually talk, they release endorphins and your serotonin levels, and, they do so much from a actual physical perspective. And then obviously there's the emotional perspective and the mental perspective. And the other part that's added in, which we've seen through doing a pilot at Discovery, and we're now lifestyle partners of them proudly, it also added a social element in for them, which has been absolutely amazing. So you're gonna ask, how does it work? We have a group of dogs. They consist of 10 dogs. They are all rescues. They have gone through, they've gone through a program, our program, a mental wellness program. They live in our pet hotel, so they are living a more beautiful life than what any animal can live in a home, because they're getting 24-hour attention, and they have siesta time and playtime and whatever, but they're also getting that engagement, constant engagement of knowing how to treat people from a mental wellness and emotional wellness perspective. So those 10 dogs go to Discovery once a week, and they come through and they spend time with the employees. Ah. And I'll tell you something, life-changing for them. So Discovery have given us a room, and ironically, where they've put us in their building is built high. So if there's noise, people come to the balconies, they see what's going on, and they want to engage. The dogs at Discovery do not bark. Now, doesn't that tell you something? They're so worried about a person's emotion and how you are. They don't bark. They don't really play much with each other. You walk into the space and you go and you chill. We have people coming and bringing their laptops and sitting on the floor. And my dogs just kind of know who needs it. They just come and hang their lap. And it's the most phenomenal feeling, knowing that the impact that we're having, people are leaving there, they're feeling happier. They're feeling more relaxed. We also went to a retirement village where they've got a frail care and a dementia ward, and two nonverbal people actually spoke, which was amazing.
Wow.
So the impact that animals have is absolutely enormous. And my aim of wanting to talk to you guys today is to try and get as many companies, corporations, organizations to engage with Pause at Work to add that enormous value to their employees and the environment. Because, imagine the work productivity is also so much better because you've got happy employees.
Well, it's not for everybody, but it might be a really good idea for some companies. And there may be a way for them to increase productivity, make people happier, just make the workplace a little more exciting and interesting and loving. That's all.
Yeah, I think we deal with so many anxieties. I don't know about you guys, but if I walk into a Pick and Pay or Woolies and someone's got a mask on their face, I don't really want to go to their till. I'm kind of already starting to think, I don't want to get sick. Are they sick? So I think we live with all these little anxieties. People going back to work after COVID, they now have to be sociable. How do you engage with people on a social
level? Oh, come on, Jax. I know you don't seem like the kind of person who's struggling with that. you wanted to ask something, Pums?
I do. We're talking a lot about dogs, and I want to ask about cats, because well-known fact, cats don't like people. What about cats?
So Woodrock Animal Rescue, and I might have left this out at the beginning, we have a cattery, we have donkeys, we have pigs, we have
donkeys.
Charlotte the pig, who is
donkeys.
Donkeys.
You need to set one up in Grahamstown.
Yes, we've got one horse. She doesn't even, she doesn't kick. We've got pigs. I've got Charlotte, the one pig who is just, everybody needs a Charlotte in their life. But our category is amazing. Akateri is seriously amazing. And in actual fact, I go to Woodrock every Monday. And when I need a bit of zen in my world, I go and chill in the Akateri. And Pumi, you're right. Cats choose you. but there'll always be a cat coming to hang around with you at Woodrock Animal Rescue. They are more difficult to take out to do mental wellness, obviously. I don't want to upset them. but I did take a cat once to Discovery for mental wellness, and he was such a big success that he broke down and landed up at the vet. He couldn't take all the attention, and
just the cat broke down. I told you cats don't like people.
Wow.
Dog. He's a special needs cat. He actually belongs to me. And yeah, but he was like, no, this is too much. But I just want to tell you something. You know, someone at Discovery, she had a panic attack. She went to the medic at Discovery, and the medic simply brought her down and popped her into Paws at Work. She was must have been there for about 10, 15 minutes. And she came to me afterwards and said, I actually can't remember why I had a panic attack. You know,
wow.
Thanks for having me. So it's really beautiful to see that impact.
That is special.
That is wonderful.
I love it. I think it's great that you're doing this, and I'm glad we got a chance to speak to you this morning.
Good luck.
Thank you for having us and letting people know what we've got going.
Well, if you and your workplace are interested, contact Paws at Work, and you can get all the Woodrock Animal Rescue stuff on the socials. Thank you so much, Jax. Nice to see you.
I've seen their pop-up with the dogs in Rosebank.
Oh, okay. Sorry, what were you saying, Jax?
They can also email me at community@woodrockanimalrescue.co.za. And we will assist them.
Very good. We'll put all the notes, all the info in the notes on the show. Thank you very much. Cool, Jax.
Brilliant. Thank
Cheers.
You, guys.
Thank
have a
you.
Day.
All right. It is 7 o'clock. When we come back, the burning platform.
See?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Happy day, Pumi. You see, you can have a happy day by just having a pet, something to love other than yourself.
I've seen their pop-up at Rose because their adoption center is just down the road from my office, and they sometimes have the pop-up at the mall.
Mm.
So cute.
Puppies. Very good.